the awareness of our community, what's going on with this Great River Trail. Still people out there that have no clue what this trail is about and why they're doing this and what it's going to impact. So the impact is, right now, is it's going along, they're going to put this trail right on top of the abandoned railroad track from Eureka all the way down to San Francisco Bay. Some 316 miles, and then the last meeting we went through was 286 miles, so they're cutting out some of the path somewhere. We don't know. They haven't divulged that information to us. We heard from up in Fortuna area that they are moving the trail off of the track because it's too close to the freeway. Well, up there, we're able to come together and talk to the Great Redwood Trail people, Mike McGuire's office, and the Coastal Conservancy, you know, who we've been talking with. So I just found out about this like last summer, and it was Perry Lincoln that came to me because he's a tribal member from here, and he was just kind of nonchalant. Oh, did you hear about the trail that's going through the Eel River Canyon? I'm like, no, what is that about? So then that just started. We were like, whoa, that's not okay. You know, they're going through our ancestral tribal lands in the Eel River Canyon area, or the basin north of the valley here. So Perry shared this with me, this map, and it shows the main stem right here. So on that map you can see, so this darker line here is the main stem of the Eel River going north of the valley. All these dots on here that you see, those are all tribal village sites that are our ancestral village sites. So, and those are the ones that we know registered, you know, like archaeological sites. And so there's been more than that. You know, we had thousands of people, you know, in that area, and they were driven from that area into the valley. And so that's why we're not even able to go up there in that area now. See, just in that little area up on the very, you know, towards the top, that's over 25 village sites just in one little site there. But that's right on the river, on both sides. You know, and they're trying to say it's just going to affect where the railroad track is. I don't know what their plans are for preserving that. According to the Coastal Conservancy and the board, they are just going to put signs up, stay on the path. They offered to put signs up in our native language, our Wailaki, Yuki, you know, the people that were in the area. There's more, I just can't name them all because there's a lot. There's Matol, there's, I should have wrote that all that down. No, Pomo's more south of us. So this is all up in this area, north of this valley. So it's Wiat, Matil, Sinkyon, Lasik area up on top there, and then it goes on into the Karuk and Yurok people.
It's also going through Yuki territory.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Yeah, this valley was Yuki's, and then, you know, the different bands are, you know, spread out, and then that's why this valley was just the holding spot for tribal people.
So if that Redwood outfit, if they get any federal funds, Section 106 of federal laws require them to consult with the tribes.
According to their paperwork, they were consulting with us the whole way, and I don't believe that's true, because that's why I said I just found out last year, and they've been doing this since 2014. They bought the Lone Pine Ranch in 2018.
Well, if they have federal money, they're required to do that. And then under CEQA, there's AB 52. But the tribes have to send a letter requesting notification of the project. And if the tribes don't write that letter requesting notification, then they don't have to do anything. And then after the tribe requests notification, the next thing they do is send another letter requesting consultation. And that's California Assembly Bill AB 52. And if you go online to the Native American with section 106 to dead bodies.
Right.
When?
Just now.
Yeah. So my question is, they're supposed to request.
The tribes have to request.
So if they don't, if they aren't notified of something that's coming their way, how do they know to request? This is the thing that showed up at the meeting that we had at the Buffalo Room?
Yeah, well, just AB 52 requires that the tribe request from whatever agency it is.
Right, but how do you request for something
if you
don't even...
Okay, so anyway, sorry. But
well, that's kind of the point, that we didn't know.
Yeah.
And so that's why we're here now. That's why the awareness is coming up, to let the community know and voice their opinion on it. I mean, whether they're for it or not, I mean, at least the awareness is out there, what's going on.
And theoretically, Patricia Romano, she's the Chicago Historic Preservation Officer. Theoretically, the council is supposed to go through her for her to send the letters.
Well, I had to contact her to find out information.
Yeah.
So some information is not getting passed to the community, is what I'm saying, or the tribal community.
Yeah.
And so that's why I call this meeting now, because I want the community of Round Valley and outside to know what's going on.
Right.
You know, and voice your opinion, whether, you know what I'm saying.
You go on the Native American Heritage Commission website and look up AB 52, and they have copies of the letters that you're supposed to send initially, and then copies of the letter for consultation.
Yeah.
So Bill gave you that packet, and we'll take it to the council next week. We're on the agenda.
And can we have CC on everything that Patricia Romano did? Because I don't think we're aware of it.
I know.
In front of Patricia,
exactly.
At all.
Yeah.
Because she doesn't go to the meeting. She doesn't notify us of anything. So if we can be addressed, maybe you can notify Debbie as well.
Yeah,
okay.
I've told her several times. I said, I'm available, let me know, I can help wherever.
I think it was so embarrassing at that meeting that they show up with this big presentation.
And we don't
know. Right. It's like, oh, by the way, we're doing this.
But well, they already did a celebration. They had a big sign, Great Redwood Trail at the Skunk Train. Well, I mean, if you like, I have a video that I asked Josh to show for us. It's almost 6 minutes long. But I asked them specifically, the Coastal Conservancy, are they going to clean up anything from that railroad track that's been abandoned over 50 years? And they said no. For this group and the awareness of it, to actually see that video, and you could make comments or there's a little song behind it. I don't like that song, but this is somebody rafting down the Eel River from, I think, Dos Rios. I'm not sure how far they were going, but it was enough footage that shows a good portion of what that railroad track looks like now after it being abandoned, and they don't have anything that they say that they want to clean it up. And so that was my thing, too. I said, you clean it up first before you start anything else. I said, more people in that area, in that wooded area, more trash. And porta-potties, good luck with that out there in the wild. You know, I mean, they're going to get trashed and wildlife. So, but yeah, and then you can see the creosote logs that are still jutting out of the ground. And then what I spoke to Paula about was Louisa Morris from the Coastal Conservancy. She's their project manager. And she said, oh, we're going to relocate the bats that have been in habitat in those tunnels for over 50 years. And then she said, I guess a crew went out there because somebody can walk out there to some of these areas. I don't know how they get there. But, some of these are in the... But, you know, rafters and kayakers are trying to enjoy going down the river, you know, seeing the sights that way, which is much better, right, Deb? I mean, Deb and I rafted down there. It was awesome, and the best part, we didn't have to walk. It was beautiful, but we didn't see this part because we were further up north in Alder Point and going. So, yeah, so Paula, when we were talking about the bats, somebody went out there to those tunnels and... they can even get 50 feet, she said, or 50 yards, I don't know, maybe feet. But because of the back guano was so strong, so I'm thinking, yeah. How are you going to relocate them if you can't get it close? So I don't think they are. They're just going to throw gasoline and just burn them out of there. I mean,
you know, Larry's stuff that he's, that we've experienced and that he's seen, the companies that go ahead and, like, our walking trail, they pull the rails out. That's part of making a walking path or a driving path or a riding path. So, you know, what's their plan? Have they any commitment to removing the rails that they have polluted the river with?
They should be recycling that metal. No, I mean, that's metal from, what, 1910, 15 or something, whenever that went through there. And so so they were telling us it's eminent domain, that they have a right to do that, and grandfather ruled in. And so that goes right through Neshmead, you know, area. So, and then we have some folks here that, you know, own property in Neshmead that was their family, you know, property out there. And it's kind of landlocked. They can't even get out there. There's owners here, and there's no right-of-way in there.
They will have to build a roadbed to be able to get in, to get the railroad bed out. Yeah. So it's going to be a lot more than just a footpath. Yeah. Otherwise, unless they're going to just, like you say, put signs up and say,
well, what they told us is that there are going to be a trail, something similar to this one out here, maybe not as wide, but, you know, paved.
Paved? You're kidding.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And, or asphalt, you know, asphalt. Whatever, and then the other part is going to be dirt track or dirt. You know, Deb, if you want to speak about the terrain out there for the rocks, if they start moving the rocks, and we see that huge slide on Covelo Road, that massive slide, if you start moving that, that's going to go straight into the river, and that's going to be detrimental to the river. You know, the fish.
They can't let that happen. If they're doing any kind of
but
road,
who's
bed,
to police
road bed
them?
Work,
who's going to police that? Who's going to police that?
No,
these are some of the things that you need to be able to put down that are concerns that you want addressed.
That's right. Yeah, that's, and we have to request that our voices get heard, because that's...
And let them know that you guys made a big mistake.
Well, and what they first started telling us, well, Coastal Conservancy people have been talking to us, not the board members per se, but they were saying their budget's $75 million for this trail. And I'm thinking, well, yeah, to initially put it in, but not to maintain it, because you see this terrain.
Who's going to maintain it? That's what I'm concerned.
We have earthquakes, we have mudslides, you know, I mean, that's going to be an ongoing. What I guess our focus can be at this point is the request, and then also give them some alternate routes. And I said, fix 162 over Mendocino Pass, drop down to I-5. Go there. I'm sticking to it. And I just, you know, my opinion is I don't want this trail at all, you know, from our Yurok tribal people up north to the Miwok down south, is that this... You know, we've already given up enough land. We've already given up enough space around here. And why? I mean, what is this for? Tourists.
Well, what about if you push for tribal management of this?
So there's a partnership that they've been talking about, and they haven't really focused on that until they meet with the tribes face-to-face, you know, consulting part of it. But they want us to have a partnership, which means we will own, say, a certain lot from Dos Rios to Alder Point. The tribe will own that. And then the tribe's responsible for that. Tribe's responsible if any accidents happen. Tribe's responsible for any porta potties. Tribe's responsible for any maintenance, you know, slides, you know, runoffs or whatever. So they're going to give that to us to maintain, because they don't want to keep paying for it. That's the partnership.
That's the hardest part, too, in there.
You need a really good negotiator because that it can't be done that way. So they're going to put each ancestral land, they're going to put that tribe in charge of that section.
That's what they're trying to do. That's what their goal is.
That's great if they use state funds to support it.
See, a lot of these trails, you know, go through, like, already designated, you know, parklands and stuff like that that are managed by the feds or the state. That is like really it's not a wilderness area, but it's getting there. And, you know, but it's not designated.
It is Wild River.
Yeah. Well, but that's the river.
But the whole river is not actually Wild River. No. There's only sections that are wild.
Right.
And then there's scenic.
The problem is that those kinds of trails, you know, already have, you know, like a management team or something, you know, because they're, you know, federal government, you know, U.S. government or state, you know, is running already. They have rangers and all the equipment that goes with that, you know. You know, I don't know. You know, I'm not for the trail at all, personally. I think they should just leave it alone. It's a wildlife corridor back there.
Dangerous. There's no cell phone service out there. There's Cartel and there's Murder Mountain out there towards Cartel. You know, I mean, so those are real. I mean, we know about it. We live here. But you get people from San Francisco that want to hike in a beautiful area, which I you know, can't argue with them on that part, but you're going in a dangerous area, and it's because of other people. There's already people that died and found dead bodies on Spy Rock, you know, Bell Springs, on up on that side. So, I mean, you're putting people in danger, and I feel like they don't have any safeguards for that, you know, and for no cell phone service, they'll go to the houses. I mean, this one lady, I don't know her name right now, but she said she could see the rail tracks from 50 yards from her living room.
Yeah.
So if somebody's in danger, guess where they're going to go?
Yeah.
Right to her house.
There used to be little hotels along that railroad track.
They live out there because they don't want to be around public. You know, a whole bunch of people chasing through their yard and whatever. I just told those people, I said, you get more people out there, you get more trash, and it pushes the wildlife further out in the mountains. If one time they get a bear attack out there, they'll probably wipe out all the bears in that whole area. You know, I mean, that's not okay. And I'm not okay, you know, with approving any of this, and I'm not on board with them. And so I'm writing my letter as to that. And the other thing is they won't have any redwood trees on this trail through the Eel River until you get past Garberville and on up north. Uh-huh. So I said, fix your state parks. The Avenue of the Giants is perfect. You know, and they had those houses out there. You know?
Yeah, this is an inappropriate area, I think, for development. You know, it's just not good.
You mentioned something about them rerouting part of the trail coming out of Eureka because of it. Yeah. So is one of our ideas that we say no to this, no through Yuki Wailaki Achamau, not no through this land, and you suggested all the way over the Central Valley. I was thinking maybe you suggest, you know, that highway that's on National Forest land that goes to Lake Pillsbury. You know, there are, you know, when you go to Lake Pillsbury.
Well, there's even Minor Road.
That wouldn't cause nearly as much damage. It's already there.
Somebody said through Branscombe and
So might it help our case to say we're going to propose alternate ways that are closer to national forest land that you are responsible?
Yeah, 101.
Responsible.
Yeah. I know.
Just because I. You know, we can only stop them if we can find another, if we can make them understand that it is not appropriate. It's not appropriate to come.
But also, they, since they took responsibility for buying that railroad out of its debt, bankruptcy, they need to clean that thing up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And in addition,
and there's actually, I bet there's 10 years of jobs cleaning that thing up, mm-hmm. which ought to be run through the tribes. This tribe, you know, wherever the tribes are that have the closest front, because...
Well, in Willits, you know, just through Outlet Creek on south, and then Willits-Sherwood area, there was 200 village sites just that off in that hill. And that's that way, not even in the mountains. That's just in that, you know, whole marshy area now. 200 village sites out in that way. So they moved them all out of there, too. So that's why they were contesting that bypass, and that went through. But yeah, all we can do is, you know, I'm asking people to sign a petition that we have, you know, read it for yourself, and then sign if you like, and those I will be turning into Senator Mike McGuire's office and the Coastal Conservancy and Deb Holland from the Department of Interior, so that all these people know, you know, what's going on up here if they don't know. And, you know, to our people up north and our tribal people, that's all, like, it's considered burial sites. And Humboldt State, Cal Poly, just announced not too long ago, last spring or something, or somewhere, they have 21,000 artifacts of Native American bones, relics, pottery, baskets, feathers, arrowheads, and they have that in their universities. And Berkeley has it, Stanford has it, Smithsonian has some of our stuff. And they won't release that to our tribal members because we don't have a museum that, you know, is like climate controlled or something like that to preserve that. So they won't release it to us. But Deb was telling me that, you know, because we were arguing, I said, well, they can't, if we ask for it back, they can't tell us how to take care of them. You know, we could go back and bury them at those sites if we want. But Deb was saying that they coat all that stuff, you know, to preserve it. So there's coating on it. So we'd have to clean it off and wash it, or I don't know how to take them off. But yeah, there's a coating on there to preserve it. So we'd have to go back through and clean all that stuff anyways. But anyways, you know, I mean, just that part of it. And then you usually see, you know, the village sites out there that's going to be affected again. And the railroad track went through in 1910 or 15. And our tribal people weren't considered citizens till after 1928. And we weren't legally to vote until 1957. So, I mean, that's not too long ago. And it feels like we're being treated like that again. And I just want our community members here in this valley to know what we're going up against. And if we can have people protect that in some way, if they can guarantee that it's going to be protected. But there's petroglyphs and some rocks out there in Island Mountain, you know, way further. I'm not sure where it's at. Josh, you said you went out there. Did you see that petroglyphs rock out there? Ben Shield knows. It's somewhere out by Island Mountain. Do you know, Deb?
Out by Spine Rock?
It's on the river.
Dan Foster with it's along the riverside. You can only see it from
there. Right, yeah. So rafters have been stopping in the last 30 years that I know of and etching those out, and they're selling them in San Francisco or to the universities. So they've been getting money for some of our artifacts that they just freely take. So, I mean, just...
I remember going before Sherry and her family took us down to Nashley. Mm-hmm. As you go down that driveway, there are rocks and petroglyphs right up, you know, off of 101 before you go. I mean, this was country that was lived in for 10,000 years. Uh-huh. By people. by people.
And they're still alive.
And they're still alive, and it's ongoing.
They weren't people until 1920 something.
To Susanville, and those mountain ranges on that top. There's like seven of them that they're going to come around to do a trail, and they plan to have that done by 2025.
Is that a rail-to-trail thing again, where it's a railroad shutdown?
No. Did you read about that, Josh? No.
I didn't.
Okay. Yeah, so that one, if you wanted to look that one up. So this is delusions of grandeur, I call it, for people to have, you know, a good time hiking out in these mountains. I mean, you're going to get lost. I mean, they know the Donner Party. They were going along the Donner Party and the old Pony Express trails through Reno, all the way around those mountaintops and stuff. So
they're inevitably not going to stay on the trail. That's
no, you're not going to have people stay on there. Mm-hmm.
They won't.
Well, that's why I was trying to get the Friends of the Eel River to help us out, the Save California Salmon, Cal Trout, and, you know, all those, so those different agencies to help us out, you know, write letters and, you know, let us know, let them know, Mike McGuire's office, that this is detrimental to the animal life, wildlife, the aqua life, you know, is not saved.
The people who actually live out there.
And we have missing and murdered up here. And it says right in Longvale, right there, a big sign that
somebody's still missing.
Still missing in this community, you know. And you're inviting people in here. I'm like, you guys don't even know what you're doing.
I lost a friend in there in 1968.
See, yeah. Yeah.
I didn't even know about Covelo. I wasn't living in Covelo. And she and a boyfriend were up there camping. And they both were shot with high-powered rifle.
There.
Murder Mountain.
Oh, at Murder Mountain.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. They're not doing their research and homework on this area. And you're inviting city people that will pay money. And they're projecting, their last meeting with us was that they're projecting $102 million annually for transportation up here, for retail, you know, that will bring all these small towns like Willits, or Ukiah Willits, you know, Laytonville, Leggett, Garberville, on up the road, all this money that they're promising. These people are coming up here, they're just going to give us money.
Well, we better rebuild all our storefronts.
See?
At least the front.
Just the front.
Yeah.
A movie set.
There's another organization called the Center for Biological Diversity. Kieran Suckling and they're friends of my daughter's. And as I understand it, they were offered part of this stewarding by the Nature Conservancy, but they're folks who are in complete battle with the U.S. government about the destruction of vulnerable species all over, whether it's chameleons and frogs and giant. And I think if we wrote to them and said, do you understand? And can you come help identify vulnerable life forms, flora and fauna, that need protection. And if they're not going to honor the National Antiquities Act, if they're not going to, you know, there have to be many ways to approach them and threaten them and say,
We're hoping, because Deb, you were saying that there's a family of martens that are out past the North Fork.
Fishers and martens are going to be back into our area.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I've had them at my house.
Yeah, you can hear them screaming.
And then up in...
But not just that, the dirt on where the slide was, it's measured by fines, and those fines will grow right into the salmon's gills and kill them. So that's why they haven't cleared that. And if they do, they have to do it by hand. It's going to be very expensive.
What are fines?
But that's how they measure it, like a ply.
It's like silk.
Very bad. And then the bats, they're endangered. I know that up in the National Forest, you can't go in any of the caves where the bats are because they're protected. Mm-hmm. So I don't know why they're talking about moving the bats.
Yeah.
And they haven't talked to the animals, or if they have, they haven't listened to them.
Well, we have to be the voice for the voiceless. Klamath, they're in the Hoopa tribe. They have condors. They got a family of condors that are up there. And so, as they get acclimated to that area, in like 2 or 4 years, they said that they'll start coming down the canyon and try to find a home. So, if there's people everywhere in the mountains, they're not gonna come down here. I mean, we got eagles on the. On the river, you know, when we rafted, we saw some eagles and stuff. And So that's what I was saying. That's what my dad was like. Just have them do a rafting thing from Outlet Creek all the way up to, you know, the Middle Fork and stuff. So.
Yeah, forget about the trail. Gotta do this one.
It's much easier. It was so nice. We didn't have to walk.
So that's a proposal to actually have them, to have a rafting program for the, isn't it like 12 miles or is it 18 miles of the Eel River Canyon? What's the...
This trail is way longer than that.
Yeah.
You're talking about from Mill Creek to come around to Dos Rios?
Yeah, you can see it on
No, I'm talking about...
Those people that bought out there, they have a, you know, a program on their land, you know, their territory there.
One of them was five
miles and the other one was...
And this is the Middle Fork up there.
So that would be a very good long trip for rafting.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, that's going to take a couple days.
Multi-day rafting trip.
If you look up Wild Rivers and the Eel River, there's a lot of information pertaining to the rafting trip, specifically going in at Dos Rios and coming out at Alder Point. Mm-hmm. And they, you know, they're promoting that. Mm-hmm. But looking at what you were showing slide-wise, that looks like there are spots that are extremely dangerous with all that refuse from railroad stuff.
Oh, the name of the company.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah, I know. That's why this is what you need. Patch the hole.
So we'll just go forward with the petition, and if everybody gave me their contact information, I'll just keep everybody informed of what's going on and share the information that we get too. So.
And we can all write McGuire and the Coastal Conservancy. I looked up yesterday, and the Coastal Conservancy, I mean the Great River Trail, has a giant website, and they want comments.
It's a hell of a, it's a sales pitch.
It's a sale, a giant sale, a giant, brilliantly designed sales pitch.
Look at the Potter Valley project, and look at, wait till you see what money is involved in that, you know?
So just know that Mike McGuire is a politician. He's all about money, and he's going to promise all this money into these areas to get people to vote yes for this trail.
This has been Jen Procacci reporting for KMUD.